Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Fast Growing Trees. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is America's largest and most trusted online nursery with thousands of trees and plants and over 2 million happy customers? Well, if you didn't before, you do now. They have all the plants your yard or home needs, including fruit trees, privacy trees, flowering trees, shrubs, and houseplants, all grown with care and guaranteed to arrive healthy. Whatever you're looking for, Fast Growing Trees helps you find options that actually work for your climate, space, and lifestyle. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to get your dream yard. You click order and grow. Get healthy, thriving plants delivered to your door. Their Alive and Thrive guarantee promises that your plants arrive happy and healthy. No green thumb required, just quality plants you can count on. Plus, get ongoing support from trained plant experts who can help you plan your landscape, choose the right plants, and learn how to care for them every step of the way. We're huge fans of Fast Growing Trees. We have great stuff from them.
Love their trees.
At the office. We have great plants. I'm looking at them. They're awesome.
They just won't stop growing.
Right now, they have great deals on spring planting essentials, up to half off on select plants. And listeners to our show get 20% off their first purchase when they use the code LOVEIT at checkout. That's an additional 20% off. Better plants and better growing at fastgrowingtrees.com. Use code LOVEIT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com. Code LOVEIT. Now's the perfect time to plant. Let's grow together. Use code LOVEIT to save today. Offer is valid for limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Hollywood. There we go. I'm John Lovett. Andy Rooney walked so I could run. We've got a great show for you tonight, but first, let's get into it. What a week. And what a week it has been for people getting big jobs that make everybody big mad. On Tuesday, Trump named financier and one of his donors, Bill Pulte, who is his current housing finance director, to be Director of National Intelligence. Pulte, pictured here, making the same face we all did upon finding out that Trump had named Bill Pulte to be acting Director of National Intelligence. Hey, you know that job that you were going to apply for that says you need 3 to 5 years of experience, but you only had 1 year of experience and you didn't apply? Send in that resume, babe. Bet on yourself. Pulte has no national security or intelligence experience, and his iPad password is his birthday, said a Chinese spy laughing with the other spies. What Pulte lacks in experience, he makes up for in a willingness to do Trump's bidding. Pulte used confidential mortgage information to target Trump's political enemies, including New York Attorney General Tish James, the Fed's Lisa Cook, and vegan Senator Adam Schiff. And by the way, Pulte's not even particularly good at this. The charges against James were dismissed, and then a grand jury refused to return a new indictment. None of the other referrals to DOJ have, at least so far, resulted in any charges. All of this has led to an open investigation by the Government Accountability Office into Bill Pulte, into how he accessed private mortgage data and subverted the inspector general to make these criminal referrals. So Pulte is not even competent at being a Trump stooge, but maybe he just hasn't found his special talent yet. Maybe his innate gift is integrating foreign military and domestic intelligence from 18 different agencies, and he's just never had the chance. Like that time they let me pitch one time in Little League, assuming I'd be bad because I was small and gay and bad. But then I threw a heater, and I saw the two coaches give each other a look that was like, hey, that little fag can throw. And then I stopped playing sports forever. That was the first one. Several Republicans were less than psyched about the pick. Senate Majority Leader John Thune told reporters, quote, we don't need a weaponized DNI. Pulte responded by saying that Thune is really starting to sound like the type of guy that commits mortgage fraud. Mitch McConnell said that the DNI must have, quote, extensive national security experience, and that no nominee who falls short of this requirement will earn my vote. And I know a thing or two about falling short, said McConnell, coming to at the bottom of a staircase. One person close to Pulte explained the decision to CNN, saying, this isn't something to overthink. President Trump wanted someone in that position who is a true loyalist. Pulte speaks to the president more than anyone I know. They really are very close, said Don Jr., staring at an empty wedding chair. Even without Senate confirmation, Pulte could serve as acting intelligence chief through the midterm elections, which seems to be the goal. Here's what Trump said when asked why he chose this unqualified person.
Well, he's very smart. He's a person who's got high integrity, and it's an acting position. It's not a permanent. He's not going to be permanent because, you know, I don't think he'd want to be permanent. But he's a very smart guy, and he may find out some things about the rigged elections, et cetera, et cetera.
Don't worry, he won't be in the job long, just long enough to fulfill your worst possible fears. In other cursed LinkedIn news, over at the Pentagon, the Trump administration appointed a convicted January 6 rioter to be part of a counterterrorism office involved in sensitive operations, including, according to the Post, embassy security and hostage rescue. This guy does seem more qualified than Pulte, though. When you think about it, he knows how to navigate the security of government facilities, and if the insurrectionist had actually found Mike Pence, he might have had some pretty good experience negotiating a hostage release as well. You know, they would have grabbed him, tried to, you know? They would have grabbed him because they wanted to fucking kill him. they were trying to find the vice president to fucking kill him. They wanted to kill him dead. Yeah. Took a shit on Nancy Pelosi's desk, too. And that part was cool. Here's this rioter, Elias Irizarry, in the middle of storming the Capitol when he was 19. You know what? I just think it's nice to see a teenager off his phone, part of a community, in the real world. According to prosecutors, Irizarry entered the building through a broken window while wielding a metal pole, though he didn't personally hit anybody with it. Sometimes just having the pole in your hand is enough. Happy Pride. It's worth saying, Irizarry expressed regret almost immediately. He described his decision to be part of the riot as, quote, the worst mistake of my life. He called January 6th the largest attack on our democracy since the Civil War, and he said that the very response to January 6th proves that as a country, we are still strong in our democratic values. On the other hand, prosecutors said there was a gap on his phone between January 1 and January 8, suggesting he may have deleted messages related to how he was involved in the insurrection. And if Irizarry was so changed by January 6th and so appreciative of the response, it's a bit strange to then take a job for the guy who pardoned everyone involved, including him, claims the whole thing is a hoax, and just tried to steal $1.8 billion from taxpayers for an insurrectionist relief fund. Regardless, I don't think one mistake should define you for the rest of your life. I do think one mistake should rule out sensitive counterterrorism jobs at the Defense Department. We don't even know if the guy has basic Pentagon skills. Like, how many gin and tonics can he put down before lunch? And then there's the drama at 60 Minutes, thanks to, happy Pride, CBS News Editor-in-Chief Barry Weiss. Really defying the stereotype about lesbians being good at fixing stuff. Last week, Weiss tapped Nick Bilton to be the new executive producer of 60 Minutes. Bilton was one of five flawed children to find a golden ticket in a chocolate bar. No, Bilton is a tech reporter. He became a filmmaker. He doesn't have any TV news experience and will take over the job from Tanya Simon, who's been ousted from the show after more than 30 years. Bilton, who I need to disclose to all of you, is a friend of mine and was invited to my wedding and who I did have to bump to RSVP, started the job on Monday. And I'm sorry, but a program like 60 Minutes needs the kind of executive producer who RSVPs to a wedding on time. In that first staff meeting, 60 Minutes correspondent Scott Pelley interrupted Bilton to say that Weiss, quote, does not love this place, she was brought in to kill it, and is doing exactly that. Which is shocking to hear. Usually the only thing lesbians kill is the vibe. Take that, lesbians. Pelley also asked Bilton, who again started that morning, why he'd accepted a position at 60 Minutes knowing that you will never be welcome here. Continued Pelley, no one here will ever tell you where the bathrooms are. We have taken down all the signs like the Ukrainians during the Russian invasion. You will be holding it for the rest of your fucking life. In the exchange, Bilton apparently said, quote, I care so deeply about this institution, only for Pelley to interrupt with, oh, please. At which point, Bilton started slapping himself in the face, trying to wake up from what must be a first day of work nightmare. Bilton was naked, by the way, and his first grade teacher was trying to get at his teeth. Scott Pelley, meanwhile, is in this meeting like a 60 Minutes Gundam. You're not just talking to me, you're facing the full powers of all 60 Minutes correspondents, living and dead, and right now I'm combining the powers of Anderson Cooper and Andy Rooney, gay cunt. That was the second one. Teddy, that was the second one. All right, I think we're good. You're okay still? We're good. You guys. Yeah, you're great. He's doing great. He's doing great. On Tuesday, Nick's second day, CBS fired Scott Pelley after 37 years at the network. And Pelley's already been replaced by, it says here, Housing Finance Director Bill Pulte. Oh, no. Now, maybe Nick would have been in a more forgiving mood about Pelley's diatribe if he had made it to my wedding. There was a blueberry walnut cake with a lemon buttercream. We had clowns. We did. We had clowns at my wedding. Never seen clowns at a wedding before. Amazing. By Wednesday, Nick's third day, Pelley responded with a letter lambasting the network for firing the show's senior leadership and two of its correspondents, saying, quote, good people were silenced because they stood for fairness and against the forces of political bias. I texted Nick, this is real, hump day. No response. I get maybe not in a joking mood just yet. I get it. Hump day. On Thursday, Built-In emailed 60 Minutes staffers reassuring them that the show will continue in good faith, respect, and trust while praising Bill Whitaker, John Wortham, and Leslie Stahl. Oh, that's actually nice to hear, said Leslie Stahl from inside the air duct on the 11th floor of BlackRock just above Nick Built-In's new office, removing her balaclava and recorking that jar of fire ants. Let's back it up. Back it up, Leslie. But I, for one, am looking forward to the new 60 Minutes. I'm Pennywise the Clown. I'm Darth Maul. I'm Kyle Rittenhouse. Those stories in Ricky Gervais tonight on 60 Minutes. And we've got a great show for you tonight. When we come back, it's Todd Glass.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Not everyone experiences summer as an endless parade of hot dogs, vacations, and pool parties. For some people, life's woes don't abate when the temperature climbs and the days get longer. If you've got the summertime blues or are simply feeling overwhelmed, BetterHelp is there when you need it. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp has the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. They have quality therapists. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you, so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs. Therapy, everybody needs it. You need it. Everybody needs it.
Abate that sadness.
Yeah, abate it.
Therapy.
Get it abated. Don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Well, right, except for therapy. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/loveit. That's better, HELP.com/loveit. Love It or Leave It brought to you by Helix. Sleep. God, it's important. A good night's rest sets you up for a great day. Go on a rant of previous sleep issues you've had. Okay. Anxiety. Too much caffeine.
Muscle pains. Soreness of the neck and back.
Neck soreness. Boy.
My neck, my back, my...
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Arm bar. And
right.
My
and your
rack.
And your what? Okay. Helix has solved all of those issues for Tommy for sure. He hasn't talked about his neck or his back in a while.
Not in a while.
And it's really comfortable. I have a great Helix mattress. I love it. They deliver your mattress right to your door. Free shipping. How do you know which mattress is right for you? Stupid morons. You take the Helix sleep quiz. It'll match you with the perfect mattress. I got the Dawn Lux. And I love it. They have 20 mattress models. You can find the perfect one for you. They have a happy with Helix guarantee. It's a risk-free, customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress. You can rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. Plus, Helix offers a 120-night sleep trial and a limited lifetime warranty. I have it. I like it. I sleep on it every goddamn night. So you should too. HelixSleep.com/loveit for 20% off site-wide. That's HelixSleep.com/loveit for 20% off site-wide. HelixSleep.com/loveit. And we're back! Todd Glass and Blair Psaki will be out in just a moment. But first, if you are a friend of the pod, thank you. Thanks to the friends of the pod that are here tonight. And if you're not, please consider becoming a paid subscriber. Subscribers get a ton of bonus content, including ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, access to our excellent Substack newsletters, including Open Tabs, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster, and ad-free breaking news episodes. Plus, your subscription supports independent media that brings you exclusives like this week's Pod Save America Only Friends with me and Jon Favreau. Plus, subscribers get special perks at Crooked events, including at CrookedCon. Some discounts too. So head to crooked.com/friends to learn more and unlock all of the incredible benefits. Just incredible. And if you're in the LA area, you can still get tickets at crooked.com/events to check out our new studio and upcoming guests such as SNL alum Jay Farrow, plus comedian and literal clown school graduate Zach Zucker. And don't miss our very special Pride episode on June 16th featuring Otsuka Okotska, Mark Indelicato, Mickey Meeks, Bruce Valanche, Sabrina Jalice, and more. And now, please welcome to the stage the podcaster's comedian's comedian. It's Todd Glass. Hi, good to see you, buddy.
How you doing?
Come on in.
You all good? I got dressed up for you people. Do I sit right here?
Yeah, sit right there. That's
Let's
the classic.
See if I can get comfortable. It's a
comfortable sofa.
Yes, it's great.
I found it at a store. I bought this couch. Good
nice,
to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Yeah, I know. So strange.
Yeah.
I feel like I know you. Do you want to know why?
Yes.
I'll tell you partially why. I watched you on Last Comic Standing.
Oh,
the very first time you were on
it. Oh, thank you.
And I remember thinking, you're not as funny as Dat Fan.
Oh.
So I think it all made sense what happened. All right.
Thank you.
Hey, you like social media. Wait, no, you made this way. You're really doing bits on there. You're really pushing it.
Not that you need this answer, but during the pandemic, I stumbled upon TikTok, and I was like one of the only comedians. I liked it. You know, there's a lot of garbage on television, there's a lot of garbage comedians, there's a lot of garbage music. But if you sift through it and you find the gems, so I wasn't mad at it. I thought, to be honest, I thought it could be really funny and also sweet and kind. So I jumped in. I wasn't, like when I did Twitter, it wasn't like, it was okay, but I wasn't like, you know, it wasn't my favorite thing to do, but I'm a bit person. So I've been having a ball over there.
So let's show one of your really funny. This is you at a Ring doorbell. Let's roll the clip.
Hello?
Do you have a black Prius? There's a black Prius with its lights on. I figure I'd save someone a dead battery. I don't know if that's you.
No.
No. Okay. All right. Have a good night. All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Okay. This motherfucker can't even say thank you. You sit in your house with your pencil dick and your stupid wife, and I hope you haven't fucked in 20 years.
Okay.
My cat gets in every video that he possibly can.
So, I like this video. It's because it's funny. That's the first thing about it.
That's what I always go for.
I think it's funny. But I also appreciate it because I feel like what I see you feel... People are getting ruder all the time, and it's driving you crazy. Is that right? Do you feel that? There's something. It feels like you're attacking a kind of rudeness that you're experiencing.
But yeah, but I don't know if it's any worse. I think it's always been. You know, there's
you
always
think
been.
Think it's getting worse?
People. No, I don't.
What? Do you think it's getting worse? You don't.
I don't.
That's good. I think it is.
You do?
Oh yeah.
Really?
I think people are not getting meaner. I think they're getting more. Ostentatiously oblivious about other people.
And most people agree with you.
Yeah.
But that's not a good sign.
Right.
Because most people are usually wrong.
But I could be wrong, right? But it could be just an experience. It could be that we're just seeing more people and experiencing more.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You know, I don't want to sound argumentative, but I always like, no, I don't think most of the time when people go like, oh, it's getting worse. I go, or people used to be nicer. There was more of a civility back in the day. But I don't think so. Look at some of the things we did. So I don't know. I think there's always been nice people. There's always been kind people. But I am making fun of that, of the, you know, whenever you do something nice for someone and just no thank you.
Yeah.
You know, or when you let someone in traffic, you ever let somebody in, it's like, what the fuck? You know, it's like, give me a thank you, you know?
Yes, I practice, and it's unhealthy, what I call road justice. And that is where I try to make sure the roads are fair. And so I try to be really generous when I think the situation is called for.
Yeah.
But I also try to make sure that we're exacting penalties for misbehavior. And I know that's wrong. I know it's wrong. It's a bad part of my brain. It's bad. And I know I'm going to get killed.
But I like it.
But it's in there. And so I like letting people in. And then you're like, wow, if people understood how good it felt to let people in, they might do it more.
Yeah.
Instead of what they're doing out there on the roads these days.
Yeah. Yeah, it always feels good to let somebody in. There was a guy the other day, I let him in, he didn't thank me. I'm like, this fuck. You know? And then he opened his window and waved at me. And I started to tear up. I'm like, oh, I was
That's
wrong.
That's humanity.
And now we're dating.
And now you're dating.
We're having clowns at our wedding. I'm paying attention, you people.
Remember when you came out on Mark Maron's podcast in 2012?
I do.
Were you hoping he would also come out?
No.
Or...
I've had that happen when I was younger, when I started to tell people, and I was so nervous, but I would have like a crush on somebody, and I thought they were, and then I would tell them, and then they would not be gay, and then I was like, ah, I wasted this tell.
Yeah, you just opened up for no reason.
Yeah.
You just let somebody into your inner experience and got closer to them for no purpose.
Right, exactly.
What a shame.
No, Mark, doing that was the best thing I ever did, because before that, I really thought I was going to go to my death with it. The being in the closet.
I had a plan.
Now look, I have perspective now, and it's years later, but I had a plan. I'm not even making this up. Like, it sounds absurd, that how I could hide for the rest of my life, and that I was going to meet a girl that somehow had cancer.
Okay.
Right. You get where I'm going with this. And then when I didn't think about the person or the life, I wasn't being mean, but that she would die. And then people go, how come Todd never got married? And he never got over Rachel. And I'm not even joking. That was like a plan. And my brother once later, he goes, well, how are you going to meet a girl with cancer? I go, please, I didn't think about it. I go to the hospital. You know?
Maybe this is glib. I think that's the easiest part.
The meeting the girl with cancer?
Yeah.
Then what's the hard part?
Well, I think hiding who you truly are for the rest of your life.
Yes, that was true.
I thought that part was
that was
pretty clear.
I got comfortable in the lie, but it was great. I got in the car. You know what? Seriously, I got in the car after I did it. I went on a podcast and did it, the Mark Maron Show, and I ugly cried, only for about 60 seconds, and I was so happy.
You had to get
that
out.
Then it was over.
Yeah.
Then it was over, and it was the best thing I ever did. And I was very nervous to do it, obviously.
Yeah, I remember when you came out, and I remember thinking, oh, like, because I remember when I saw you, whether it was on Last Comic Standing or other kind of stand-up appearances, that I was like, I just thought of you as a straight guy, but I really liked you. And I realize now in hindsight, like, oh, there was a frequency there, because you were doing bits about Andrea, which was really about your long-term partner, who was a man the whole time.
Right.
And I feel like there must have, do you hear that from people who kind of like, do you have a gay fan base at all? They're like, oh, you know what? I didn't know, but I kind of on some level knew.
Some people said I talked about my girlfriend more than any comedians that had girlfriends. But they were true stories. I just switched the sex, which is really indirectly, you know, it's sort of an experiment that I didn't know that I was conducting, is that no one in the audience ever went, yeah, that guy was talking about his girlfriend, because it was really about a guy. Nobody went, I just didn't relate. All the stories didn't set. They were all like, oh my God, it's exactly like us. Everybody in the crowd applauding every night. This is just like us, this guy and his girlfriend. Meanwhile, I'm talking about a guy, which sort of says relationships are relationships. You know?
I wonder if on some level, like, this isn't...
Can we do that again and you'll all applaud?
You show some goddamn respect.
You show some goddamn... But anyway, other than that, I feel good.
But I wonder if on some of those, like, something doesn't ring true about this guy. He doesn't hate his girlfriend enough, you know?
Right.
Like, he seems to have a pretty sort of sweet and generous relationship with this woman, and that's not the usual tone from these comedians.
Yeah,
usually they fucking hate their wives.
Yeah, something's going on here. Yeah, a lot of guys, they're so worried about, they're always worried that gay people marrying are going to ruin the sanctity of marriage, you know, gay people. And I'm like, I think you guys are doing a great job all by yourselves. The way you talk about women and the way the ball and chain and every joke, the sexist jokes. It's like, don't worry, you don't need gay people to ruin the sanctity of marriage. We'll be back right after this.
Now, Todd, it's Pride Month.
Yes, it is.
And you know what that means? Discourse. That's what we're going to talk about in our segment. We're calling Breaking the Glass Ceiling.
I like it.
All right. Yeah, we're getting it. Let's start with an easy one. What do you think about the word queer?
You know... I'm afraid I might not agree with you.
No, you could. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Well, I wouldn't. You know, for me, obviously, the first reaction is why? Like, queer is just so negative and queer. But I don't. I'm okay with that some people want to use that word, and I think the problem. I know that who I am in awe of. Who said
David Sedaris?
Right. So that's who also I don't. But. I think when you say, oh, you know, like, oh, now they're calling it this and now they're calling it that, you sort of feed for the lack of a better way to say it, you feed idiots that don't want to learn any new verbiage. So when you go, when someone goes, oh yeah, now they're calling it this, you can't even keep up with it, it feeds people that don't want to learn anything. So I'm like, I wouldn't call myself queer, you know, because it's, for me, it's always a negative in my mind. You're queer, it's like worse than, the, you know, using gay as a pejorative. But if other people are, I'm fine with it. I'm absolutely fine with it.
Yeah, well, I remember when I was first coming out and at school, and there was like the queer student union, and the word queer never felt right for me. It just didn't
me
feel
neither.
Right. But there's something interesting about that, which is part of it. Like, I feel, I go back and forth, and I like, which is like, why does it not feel totally right for me? And even if, like, there's a lot of things that would apply to me that I might not go to, but they don't feel weird. Like, they don't, I would call myself gay. I wouldn't necessarily go to queer right away. But there is a discomfort I feel in the word even now that I don't totally understand. And part of it is because I know other people are uncomfortable with it. And I'm like, no, I want to put the best foot forward. It's like, why am I performing for the other people
right.
who don't like the word? They don't like anything, you right. know? And, so that's confusing.
Right. And also, the people that are referencing themselves as queer, they're not saying everybody has to. It's just... And, you know, a lot of times if you do the homework, including me, I haven't, like, you know, why it was called, you know, maybe this is a lighter, but why is it called a maid then housekeeper or a flight? If you do a little work and you research it, you'll sometimes get an answer. You're like, oh, okay, before you just go, you know, I don't like it. But like I said, I wouldn't reference myself that, but if people do, I have no problem with it.
This week, the official X account for Representative Andy Ogles tweeted, quote, homosexuality has no place in America. Happy Nuclear Family Month.
Look at this,
guy. That just looks exactly like you'd think a guy named Andy Ogles tweeting anti-gay shit would look like. Now, here's what's interesting. He was criticized by a bunch of Republicans, including Ted Cruz. And Cruz said, for all of recorded history, homosexuals have been part of humanity. I'm quite libertarian by nature. I think this behavior of consenting adults is their business. Isn't that interesting from someone like Ted Cruz? So this guy deleted it. He felt he had to delete it. And then he blamed his staff. He said, I was working on my farm and my phone began going crazy. Yep. Because of a post made by a member of my comms team. The post was stupid, hurtful, and completely distracting from my America First focus. The employee has been reprimanded. Happy Pride. It is interesting that Republicans now even... like this was Happy Nuclear Family Month. Gay people are terrible. Like, that was sort of, you know, that was an appetizer back in the day. Like, that was sort of completely normal. But right. Now they feel like they got to run from it. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, the problem is a lot of them don't feel it from their heart. So that's why they say these things, but they don't feel it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why a lot of times I think when I see someone that's having trouble with issues of today, you know, like whatever's on the plate, and they're complaining about it, they're probably not all right. Like, there's a lot of people, they're not okay with gay people. They're not okay with gay marriage. They're just done complaining about it. But they don't, behind closed doors, they're not okay with it. So that's why they get, when you see especially comics that are getting madder and madder and madder at change, it's because they're not all right with the change that started 30 years ago. I'm not mad at change. I don't mind growing as I get older. I don't mind changing my beliefs. If anything, it's probably good, you know? So when you see people that are angry at what is on the plate today, like, oh, they're still angry. And that's why when gay people are giving a new group a hard time, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you know, come on, you're not supposed to do this to the new group. Yeah. You know, and you give merit. They're like, even gay people aren't okay with that, you know? So, yeah, I'm not, the angrier you see someone, I'm telling you, like, I have some gay friends that are not all right with some of the, how people identify today, and I go, oh, you know, come on, please. You just, you know, this is not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to not give the new group a hard time.
Hey, Trump's Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, who's been pushing for a Trump $250 bill, he's gay.
Let me see him. Oh.
You think that's progress? He's gay. He also threatened to beat up Bill Pulte. Bill Pulte, the housing finance director. And Scott Bessent was asked, hey, did you threaten to punch Bill Pulte in the face? And he said, no, that's not correct. I threatened to kick his ass. Which is, honestly, a banger from Scott Bessent. That's very funny. That's very funny. But he also is this kind of gay person. And I don't know.
If you what saw kind?
Him, this the kind of person that's holding up a $250 bill with Donald Trump's face on it, making that expression while defending tariffs and the most corrupt and disastrous administration in the history of the public. Like, Is he welcome at Pride?
I guess everybody is.
I know, it's such a bummer.
Is he openly gay?
Openly. And really? For a long time.
Wow. Well, and he's a Republican.
Yeah.
Well, there yeah. you go.
Thank you to Todd Glass.
Thank you.
Check out his stand-up and get tickets at toddglass.com. When we come back, Claire Saki joins.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It brought to you by ZBiotics. I have to tell you about the game-changing product I use before a night out with drinks. It's called pre-alcohol. I just got married. We had a bunch of them there for people. People loved it.
I was telling
us the next day. Boy, I like that ZBiotics. Really helps. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration. That's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly and you'll feel your best tomorrow. And again, I just said, I used it out the way. I mean, people were taking it. It was great. It was great to have. We had it out. We had it out for people because we thought people would like it. And you know what they did? They said, boy, the next day on the Sunday when they're having a bagel, they're like, I'm really glad I had that ZBiotics.
Lifesaver.
ZBiotics.com/love it to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use love it at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/love it and use the code love it at checkout for 15% off.
And we're back. Please welcome to the stage. She's a hilarious stand-up. She has a great podcast, and I'm sure she's a third thing, too. It's Claire Saki.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for being here. Hi, Blair, good to see you again.
Oh, great to see you, John. Hello.
Hey, so you're a busy gal.
I am a busy gal. Thank you for saying so.
You're doing stand-up.
Yep.
You're doing your podcast.
I am.
And you have autism.
I do. Thank you.
Did you have clues before you got an actual evaluation?
Yeah, well, I actually wouldn't have thought that I had it because I am a jock and I went to prom 3 times. But I started having all these people come up to me after my shows and be like, I have autism, do you? And I was like, what are they seeing? And then I started thinking about it. Well, if I'm going to have a kid, maybe it would be a good thing to find out. And so then I ended up getting evaluated. But looking in hindsight, there were many things, yeah.
Yeah.
Like how I had to apologize to all my stuffed animals every time I left the house. Or why my mom, back then we had VCRs and my mom had it in a cabinet on the floor. So when I was 3 years old, I would rewind the Wicked Witch part of the Wizard of Oz over and over, and she was scared.
You know, we when I was growing up, my dad was a salesman, a box factory, but you know, there's an old saying, you can always sell a salesman. And so he bought a Laserdisc player because they were going to be the thing. Remember, giant CDs, the size of a record. And halfway through the movie, you did have to flip them. But we only ended up having one Laserdisc, and it was Home Alone.
Oh.
And we would watch this one scene where Catherine O'Hara was trying to barter to get on the plane. She was trying to sell her earrings. And this old guy was like, she's got a great old box of them, little dangly ones. And I would watch little dangly ones over and over and over again.
Well, it was funny because I remember with Ron Funches, who later also got diagnosed, I opened for him for years, and he was like, yeah, well, and this was right before I was about to get evaluated. I think it was already set up. And we were at lunch, and he was like, yeah, one of the first signs was when my son, he would rewind the same scene over in a movie. And I was like, oh, I did that. He's like, no, same scene. I was like, no, I did that a lot. I was like, what? That's a sign? And yeah, so.
And, you know, Todd came out as gay late in life, you know, later in life, 2012, not late in life, but you came out as autistic.
I know, we're all sharing a lot today.
You know, Mr. Rogers said, if it's mentionable, it's manageable. So whenever I share stuff, I go, why am I sharing all this stuff? I go, because if you mention it, you can manage it. Those words have stuck with me since I heard that quote. It's great.
That's so true, yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say this. I'm not a fan of Mr. Rogers.
No, shut up.
I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. I thought you were serious.
That was so fun. I've never thought to do that before. Mr. Rogers, I don't think he was very good.
Well,
by the way, there are a lot of people, when I grew up, they didn't. They didn't. When I was growing up, a lot of people just thought he wasn't in. Not everybody was in awe of him back then. There were people like he was too, you know. He was too feminine. He was too. Yeah, it's interesting to remember that because now, of course, you know, people.
It's like deified.
I watched the shit out of that show.
Me too. Remember the crayons?
My favorite part was when they would go into like the little play land.
Yeah.
And he would do all the voices. Incredible performer.
Amazing.
Yeah. I have a question for you. So after you found it out, has it helped you at all? Like in certain ways? Of course, you understand things.
Yeah.
But has it helped you maybe navigate a little easier through life?
Yeah, I mean, it's given me a lot of peace and context because I think older generations are like, why do you guys need to find out? And it's like, well, one, now I know why I have believed everything every straight man has ever told me because I don't lie. So I just assume words mean words. And then people think you're stupid. And it's like, I'm not stupid. I was a very good student. I just, you know, there's certain things. It's like called purity of perception. There's all sorts of things. I get more tired than my colleagues.
That's, yeah.
Because we're 50% more processing, John, you know.
Yeah, I've never really been diagnosed. But I
diagnose you.
Yeah. I just think it's so clear.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't want to belittle the diagnosis by claiming it because I simply can't.
Right.
I can tell you about the difference between the Boeing 777 and the Airbus A350-900.
Right.
And I can tell you the difference between the Airbus A350-900
sure.
and the 1000. But I've never been diagnosed
right.
with anything.
I'm a doctor.
Are you watching Real Housewives of Rhode Island?
I am.
Holy shit, it's good.
Yeah, this is the best franchise launch, I think, in the history. Because there's something so authentic about that show where it does feel like, even though, in case you audience aren't watching, it feels like the early 2000s somehow.
Yes.
It feels like back in time.
Yes, it's like somehow you just... They should have flip phones.
Yes.
Like the idea that they should not be allowed, they shouldn't be texting or using apps. Like these women have flip phones.
Yes.
These women are printing out MapQuest to get from their houses.
100%.
They are not on the web.
Their accents are incredible. Just all their really regional specific stuff is so interesting to me.
Did you know the term slam pig?
I hadn't heard slam pig, but I was delighted.
It's now slam pig summer.
What does
slam
it mean?
Pig
what
summer.
What does it mean? It's just, I think it just means slut. Or maybe like slut in a kind of chubby way.
Well, no.
It doesn't mean just chubby slut.
Kelsey, actually very trim figure, but.
Well, I'm not saying it's a.
No, no, I didn't say you said that.
I'm not saying it's fair to call anyone a slam
sure.
pig, or I'm not even evaluating who is
no,
or is
cover
not
your tracks,
a
definitely.
Slam pig. I'm just saying that if I were to say, what is a slam pig? It's a slut with some meat on their bones.
Right.
That's all
but
I would say.
Actually, what they distilled it down to on the show, a slam pig, was that they got paid to have sex. So she was insinuating, I think.
Oh, so I thought that was
prostitution
I see.
A less nice way in the fight.
Chubby slut was my. I had a grunge. I had to go back. I couldn't let my stupid thing in my head go. No, I don't need to say it.
So, why?
Chubby slut was actually my a grunge. Chubby slut.
Say it into the mic, Todd Glass.
All right, okay,
chubby slut, go on.
Could you say it and then I'll act like I'm at least coming
yeah.
in fresh?
Yeah. So chubby slut.
Chubby slut. Actually, that was my grunge band in high school.
Yeah.
That's real?
No.
Oh, see? It just happened.
No, it was really
God
good.
Damn it.
It was really good.
I believed him.
Wow.
I know. It's frustrating.
You've got it bad.
But you're telling me.
Blair, it says here your podcast is about pop culture, mental health, and weird facts about aliens. However, there are no such things as facts about aliens. There is truly not a one.
Do you think that? Is that your position?
Yes.
That there are no aliens?
My position is that there are currently no facts about aliens.
Oh,
other
okay.
than they may exist.
Right.
That's where I'm at.
Okay. Sort of agnostic.
Yeah, that's right.
So what do you feel about the government slow releasing UAP stuff?
I think it's the kind of thing where if there was clear proof that aliens existed, it would be clear proof that aliens existed and wouldn't be debatable because, you know, if like, for example, like if, like, you don't even do aliens. Like, has a plane load of French acrobats landed in California? And it's like, Oh, there are rumors that there are. And actually, I saw a little bit of a, there was a little one of those, what do they throw, the acrobats? What are those things called, the little bats?
Pins.
Pins. Oh, there was a sighting of a pin. It's blurry, but it's definitely a pin. Like, no, if there are French acrobats wandering around Los Angeles, we'll see them and we'll know for sure.
Oh.
So why can we know with French acrobats, but we can't know with aliens? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I feel like I do know what you're saying there, and I appreciate your unique metaphor. but I feel like there is a little bit more weight of what it, that could mean and how that could change society than if French acrobats landed.
I agree with that. I agree with that completely.
Yeah.
I'm my view of the whole thing is why, like, it's not just that there are aliens and it's not just that they're here. It's that they don't necessarily want us to know that they're here, and they're just good enough at hiding that we only get the barest of hints, full stop. Like, if aliens are trying to keep themselves from us, there would be a range of acts, and they're not perfect at it, which is what the claim would have to be. That would mean that they are perfect at getting it to the point where we almost don't know they're here, but just get whispers. And that just seems, I don't buy that.
Wow, I love your mind. I really do. See, I just feel like there's 2 billion light years ahead of us in intelligence, and they sort of only be seen if they want to. It's not that they're trying to hide from us and failing, and that. And look, I actually know nothing about aliens. You did, the log line of the podcast, it says, and a little bit of aliens. It's really just mentioned in a small segment at the end. But I do feel like, did you see the movie The Age of Disclosure?
Not yet.
It is, that will bring up a lot because it's all these high military professionals and these people that were in secret task forces for the government for like the last 70 years, and they're all saying, yeah, like we have 4 different types of biologics, all this stuff, but who the hell knows what is true? I can't say that I know for sure.
Todd, do you believe in aliens?
Oof. I know there's stuff I don't know exists out there.
Right.
But I've talked about this with my brother, like, it's not that people just to believe in aliens that might have a trouble with. It's like when they believe in ghosts, they believe in astrological signs, they believe in God, they believe in witches. And it's like everything but accountability sometimes. Mm. So if there's chaos in their life, they can sort of blame it on all these outside forces. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't throw aliens into there.
Yeah,
but,
I think it's crazy to say aliens, horoscopes, God.
Well, like, those
things.
Am I squeezing them together? But like, it does seem like, oh, well, I'm this because that, or the, I don't know. But I don't think there's, the shorter answer is there's got to be some stuff we're not aware of. So I don't give a hard no.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
I support that.
And all those things that you mentioned, I just would like to say that I just take a little from each. You know, I'm not, I don't think it doctrine of anything.
I like that.
Fun.
Yeah, just a little bit.
A little fairy dust of each of them.
And you can listen to Blair's podcast, Spaced Out with Blair Psaki, wherever you get your podcast. And catch her on tour at BlairPsaki.com.
We'll be right back. Psaki, everybody.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
And we're back. As we were talking about just before the break, there's all kinds of conspiracies about aliens. Where do they come from? How did they get here? We were just talking about these new UFO videos. Which is why it's time for a segment we're calling Conspiracy You Next Tuesday.
That's
Conspiracy
fun.
You Next Tuesday. Conspiracy You Next Tuesday. I'm going to tell you about a conspiracy theory. If you don't buy it, let me give these out. Oh, for this segment, you will each have a tinfoil hat.
Whoa. Exciting.
You can just see how they fit for now. We can just put them on. But I will just say for this, we actually would like you to keep your hat on your lap.
Oh.
if you don't believe the conspiracy theory, keep it on your lap. If you're open to it, hold it a little, get it close to your head.
Oh.
All right? And if you believe it, It goes right on. Let's start with one of the 50 new UFO videos released by the federal government 2 weeks ago. Let's take a look at one. Look at it. Look at it there. It just sort of darts around.
Uh-oh.
It darts around. Or is it just something that's static and we're seeing parallax?
Wow.
Motion.
I never saw
hard
the,
to say.
I haven't
do you,
seen
do
any
these
of these
videos together make you think that there are aliens?
I can't say it's this particular video that would make me think that. No.
But do you believe that there is a conspiracy hiding that the government knows about aliens?
Yeah. I don't know. Why would they tell it? I mean, I don't know. I'm too naive. Maybe I just like, why disclose now?
Well, that's the question.
Yeah.
That's the question. So you don't believe the conspiracy?
I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think they're trying to roll something out. I don't know exactly what it is.
Well, let's go to the next one. Some internet weirdos think Steven Spielberg's new sci-fi movie, Disclosure Day, in theaters June 12th, was made in conjunction with the deep state to get us all ready for the actual reveal of alien contact. Do you believe that? Todd, do you believe that? I don't believe that.
No.
I just don't picture Spielberg working with the deep state. But I do think, like, on a zoomed out mystical level, that there is some way that they could be happening at the same time, like unrelated.
Well, here's Spielberg talking about it.
I used to say to myself, wouldn't it be wonderful if all of this turned out to be true? I'm now thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful for people to know all of this is true?
Weird. What a weird way to say that.
He knows, you know? Some shit.
You know?
E.T.
An American travel influencer posted from the Hantavirus cruise ship, which Todd was on. he was accused of being a crisis actor. Online skeptics claim that Jake Rosmarin was a crisis actor for Big Pharma last month after he continued to post from the MV Hondius, the Dutch flagged cruise ship that came down with a bad case of Hantavirus. Then from the University of Nebraska Medical Center, where he was temporarily quarantined. People think he's a crisis actor with more ties then, you know, wakey, wakey, folks. Didn't he push people to get the COVID vax? Not falling for this one. What do you think about that?
I don't even understand.
I think he's been hired by Big Pharma.
To infect and raise so that they can market their
drugs, their cures. All right, so we don't believe that one. Here's one. Groups of people are descending into the New York sewer system to hunt for treasure.
Oh, that's true, I think.
Yeah. Well, the question is...
So my mom said.
They're searching for valuables that have been flushed down the drain, or that there are secret stashes of, like, wealth and treasure down there. And I got to tell you something.
I believe it. Are we thinking the mob or what? Like,
I think all kinds of things.
Like, hiding... Like, what are we thinking they're hiding down there?
Nothing has felt more real to me than Ghostbusters 2. Like, I believe that there is a secret world down there filled with beautiful, untapped, magical things. And if I could just be brave...
Well, now I'm... Well, you know what I thought? I wonder if a lot of people... There are people that live in the sewer system. Didn't they have a little documentary on that?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah,
seriously.
In New York or in here?
In New York.
Oh, because you know how they get talking about the LA. I want to put mine on with you guys.
Yeah, get on there.
And you know what I thought? If I lived down there, how I would make my place super nice. But I don't know why.
What were some of your ideas?
Oh, shut up.
Gay.
Yeah, no, that's gay as hell.
That's
I love
gay.
That.
My sewer apartment's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wait till you see how I laid out my sewer home.
Even sometimes, and it's not in disrespect to people that are homeless whatsoever. It's more my neuroses. Like, I look at an underpass, and I'm always thinking... I would like put my tent there, you know, I'd make, because it wouldn't be in the weather. But also, I did see that video where people are going under the sewer. Wonder if they're looking for stuff like that gets flushed down the toilet, because you know there's got to be so many diamonds and rings and necklaces.
Can I tell you something? I've only been wearing a ring for a week and a half.
Sure. Congratulations,
thanks,
by the way.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I now have come to believe that as a society, like a lot of people wear rings, right? And it is crazy to me that there just are drains and that rings can go down. This is it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
It really is. And I'm sure it is because most women are more likely to wear rings than men. And the only men who really wear rings most men who are wearing rings are wearing a wedding band, right? But like a lot of men don't wear rings. But the idea that like there are drains that are just
isn't this a solvable problem? Like,
yeah.
Just make it so that the holes are smaller than the fucking rings, right? Am I crazy? It's insane. They're like, oh yeah, my family diamond went down the drain. My mother snuck it out of fucking Auschwitz, but now it's gone because a man designed this bathroom.
John, welcome to hell. It's like all of them are like that. If, for women, anytime you go to clasp your necklace and usually, you know, you're getting ready with your makeup and it's over the sink. You know, my dad's had to open up the drain multiple times growing up.
Crazy.
Yeah, fell in there.
Next conspiracy theory. Ahead of the L.A. mayoral race, Jake Tapper grilled Spencer Pratt about comments he made in 2009 on Alex Jones' show, agreeing that 9/11 was an inside job. Pratt said his view has changed. Oh, my hat fell off. Jumped off my head. But was that the result of neglectful government vetting that would have identified and prevented the Al-Qaeda agents from carrying it out? Well, I have to say, I mean, there was a memo that said Al-Qaeda determined to, Bin Laden determined to strike within the U.S., and George W. Bush was like, boy, that's bad, you know? So maybe that was real.
You think it was an inside job?
No. I think it was just incompetence. Well, some part of it was preventable had they been paying enough attention, I think is what I would say.
Okay.
Oh, teens say they were stalked by Sasquatches. Sasquatches? Is two Sasquatches a Sasquatch? Is it like deer? One Sasquatch, two Sasquatch, or one Sasquatch, two Sasquatches?
Sasquatches. Wait, Idaho teen reports.
They say they were stalked by a group of 10 teens camping in Idaho's Payette National Forest. Say they were followed by several Bigfoots. Over Bigfoots?
Bigfoots.
Bigfoot. Memorial Day. So Bigfoot doesn't respect troops.
Just very recently.
Very recently.
This just happened.
They cited strange whistling, and at one point, according to Fox News, at around 3 a.m. on Sunday, while everyone was sleeping, one of them heard what sounded like someone trying to start their car. I don't think Sasquatch was trying to start their car.
Yeah, I don't know about this.
Is there a conspiracy theory you do believe, Todd Glass?
We were talking about that up in the green room. Oh, shit. Sorry. Sorry, the person who made these.
They even have the little World War One Russia, German little hat at the top.
Beautiful.
Conspiracy? You start. Is there one you believe?
What was one I believe?
Here's one that I believe. I believe that Fidel Castro is the father of Justin Trudeau. I really do. I really do. So swear, I really genuinely believe that. Or I would say this. I don't know. Here's what I say. I would say it is those who claim it has been debunked are not telling the truth. It has not been debunked. It is true that it didn't happen when it could have happened, but it did happen when it could have. Here's
You're
what I'm saying.
That
Let me say
it
like
with
it
your
did,
hat
I sound
on
fucking it. Crazy. Here's what I'm. Here's what I'll say. Here's
I
what I'll
join
say.
Join you too.
I agree with those who claim it as debunked that when it couldn't have happened, it didn't happen. But they're ignoring the moment when it could have happened. That's all that I'm saying. I think it is possible. It's just possible. And they look alike. Have you ever seen a picture of Justin Trudeau and Fidel Castro side by side?
I can't say that I have.
Well, when you do, you'll be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, there's the two that I think of off the top of my head. One that... Kourtney Kardashian's third baby is Justin Bieber's. That one, it comes up on my TikTok a lot.
Wow.
And then also the Gaylers that think that Taylor Swift is gay. And I don't know if I necessarily believe that, but then when you see the Gaylers and the argument that they create, that they line out, it's like the freaking Da Vinci Code. It's insane. And it starts being like, wait, is she gay? Has this all been gay this whole time? It's just an elaborate like treasure hunt piece.
Yeah, I mean, it is that is also how you get into QAnon,
right?
Because there's a lot of data. Well, I'll tell you, I don't need a theory. We'll be right back. And we're back. Now it's time for our favorite end of show segment, where I take a loving stroll through everything I said or did this evening and decide whether or not I regret it. In a segment we call Second Thoughts. Todd and Blair, I would love to hear any second thoughts you have about this evening as well. First up, I said pooping on Nancy Pelosi's desk was cool.
I remember that.
I swore multiple times in front of who I believe is a future leader of America. I know who wrote this one. Shitting on lesbians again, we are actually very fun. Prove me wrong, Hallie. Oh, one other second thought. In case there are aliens, I want to let them know that I'm on their side.
Oh, me too. Me too.
And I don't have to say that because I know they're already like me.
Yeah. One other regret. We should have just put the tinfoil hats and just had them on for the whole segment. Using them to gauge, it was a mess. It was a mess. I should have just put the hat on and say, fuck it, we're putting on these hats. And instead it was like, because we didn't really believe a lot of them, so the hats are sitting on our laps, they're falling over. Stupid. We fucked up the hat thing.
Right.
We fucked up the hats.
It was fun to wear the hat.
Yeah, once the hat was on, I was like, this is a dream. Yeah. Now we're having a good time.
It was fun.
You know? It's like...
Oh, I feel you. Forgive yourself.
You gotta forgive yourself.
You're a nice person.
I wish I could take back the. Oh, you didn't ask me yet.
Hey, what? Do you have any regrets, Blair?
Oh, thank you so much for asking, John. That's really timely. I wish I didn't bring up Taylor Swift or Justin Bieber and possibly a Kardashian because I don't actually believe either of those.
I think that came through. I think you're okay.
All right, just telling the Swifties out there. Stand down.
And that's our show.
Whoa.
Thank you to Todd Glass and Blair Psaki. There are 150 days until the midterms. We will be back next week. Have a great night and have a great weekend.
Bye. Thank you.
Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, Kelsey Gante, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Keeper, Sarah Lazarus, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Matt DeGroat. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.